Poodle, is someone at the door at Southern Charm?
Michael, it's time for my medicine.
Come and listen to a podcast hosted by some queens.
Talking about folks living way above their means.
They all live in Charleston where the booze is always flowing.
And we know too much about them all because of Andy Cohen.
Bravo, that is.
Southern Charm.
Sweet tea.
Well, Cameron is the sweetest, and Austin is a tool.
Shep can be a jerk,
but Chelsea's really cool.
Craig is playing lawyer.
Eliza's playing games. There's a lot of other blonde girls.
We forget their names.
Madison?
Heather Lynn?
Skimbleshanks?
It's Sweet Tea, the unauthorized Southern Charm podcast.
Breathing so loudly. Stop
breathing. I am breathing loudly. You know why, y'all? Because it's a Kate Hudson vodka night. It's a Kate Hudson vodka night.
Someone commented that I bet Poodle is annoyed by Maddie's breathing, and you'd be right. He breathes through his nose, and it really bothers me.
Well,
I'm awful.
Sorry, I'm not a mouth breather.
It's your huge, like, your head. You're gonna need a CPAP machine later.
Definitely.
You should go ahead and get one of those. Just join the ranks of the completely undateable and unfuckable.
You should find a rocket and blow it up your ass. Oh wait, it's already too loose.
Y'all, I went out with a guy who has a CPAP machine, and I was like, "Is this going to be my life for the rest of it? Is this it? Do I have to sleep next to someone with a CPAP?" And I know, y'all, I know tons of people have husbands or wives with CPAP machines, but it's like a mask. Oh, I already know people are going to come for me in this.
I kind of used to be like, because I probably will need one just the way weight, skinny, fat, no matter how my neck, I just have that thick marred neck. But so a lot of people in my family
have
one.
Name on it. You have a thick neck.
Well, what I was going to say is that I used to be concerned about that. And now, after seeing my father struggle to walk, shitting himself, struggling to breathe, I'm like, fuck it. I don't care if I need a CPAP machine one day. Like, it's like, to me, I think if you're concerned about getting a CPAP machine, I just want to say, besides probably even almost more than food, sleep is the most essential thing you can do for your health. And if you're not getting enough sleep, you do whatever you need to do that for that and yourself, and fuck the rest.
Thank you for reading me and shaming me.
Well, I'm just saying.
I'm just saying you look like fucking Darth Vader.
But I'm saying you wake up without bags under your eyes. Maybe that's what you need.
I don't have sleep apnea. My neck is thin and slender like a swan.
Yeah.
Yo, this is Southern Charm. This is sweet tea.
This is sweet tea. Southern Charm, season 7, episode 3, a pear and a square.
Spare.
I'm going to type that wrong.
I even put it in the show, the squad, the remote. We are remote, yet goat.
I don't read things you type me.
You read them, but your brain scrambles them. Mm-hmm. And you're a great proofreader, as we've seen many times.
Many times. Y'all, so we're going to jump into this show. I enjoyed this episode. Before we jump into that, we want to remind you that you guys are freaking out about Plathville.
Oh.
Like,
beyond. It's so good. It's so good. I've had people come at me saying, this isn't real. It's all it's at the same time awful, yet strangely compelling.
Uh-huh.
And people who've just joined this season don't think the parents are real. They think it may be set up. Y'all, the Queerful movement, which is all about having as many children as you can to repopulate the earth into godly people, it's real. Mama and Daddy Plath believe that shit.
It's true. It's great. There's hot men on it. Beautiful ladies too, if you're into that. And just a young teenage desire to, you know, somebody said in the squad,
your seed.
Somebody said, is it about kids blaming parents for fucking up their lives? No, not really. It's because the parents are monsters.
You'll need to watch it because
it is.
You side with the children.
You will.
Unless you're a Duggar. If you're a Duggar, you're like, why are these, what are these kids having a problem with?
What are they doing? They also, y'all, I just went on Twitter. Oh no, Olivia Wilde and Jason Sudeikis split up.
Oh. I'm glad you're looking at your phone to announce pop culture during our podcast.
It is. No, I'm tweeting y'all because y'all, there's a new Twitter account that everybody needs to follow.
I texted you to this today and I was speechless.
I feel like we've actually made it now. This was it for me.
It does feel very meta and this feels like a kind of a validation that what we're doing seems like the universe is telling us it's a good thing. Y'all, the real Carl's wife is on Twitter. Give us the exact account, please.
Yes, it is. I was just responding because the Carl's wife is at Carl's underscore real. So CARLS_REAL. We'll put it in the show notes. It's the real Carl's wife. And Carl's wife, y'all, she just got on Twitter. It was apparently she saw about it on like the PBS NewsHour, it just like last month. And she was like,
no, she watches Fox News. She watches Fox News. She does maybe CNN during prime time.
Maybe. But she tweeted, I always hear Jake It or Fake It talking about boy butter, and I'm not sure why it's only labeled for boys. Turnstile sounds delicious for my toasted wonder, and I bet I'll like it even more than Carl will. # Carl. However, I had to tell her, I talk about boy butter, and Poodle talks about Swiss Army.
Swiss Navy.
Swiss Navy, yes. So that's anyway,
the joke. That's the joke. Because it's landlocked. Swiss Navy. Did you take a moment? You're just getting that now.
Swiss Navy.
Because they don't have a navy. They're a landlocked country.
Oh, good for them. That's funny.
It's not funny when you say that's funny afterwards.
Yeah, y'all. But you know what is funny? The real Carl's wife. So be sure to check that out.
I'm telling you. I had a moment where I went, you know, I think we're doing okay when I saw Carl's wife on Twitter.
This is where someone in the Sissy Squad said, I think the Sissies have officially become a cult.
Y'all, and here's the thing. I don't want to know who the real Carl's wife is. I don't want to know. Don't tell me.
I feel like.
Don't guess. I don't want to know.
Only I know the secret to that, and I'll never tell.
Why do you know? Why do you know?
Because, you know. I know. And so.
Don't. No, you don't. You're a liar.
Anyway, y'all, check out that Twitter account. I think that's it for our announcement. Plathville and Regular Southern Charms is good. We've got Live After Lockup. Love After Lockup.
Our Patreon. The season of Love, the season finale of Love After Lockup, you guys, is this Friday on our Patreon.
Yes.
And then we start Life After Lockup after the 90-day cray-cray crossover, gay-cray crossover that's going to happen next week. It's going to drop next week. And that'll be, I think we're putting that in our free feed, aren't we?
Yes, we're going to put that on our free feed.
We talked about that, yeah.
Also, this is truly just for our sissies who listen to Southern
our
Charm.
Sissy Squad.
Not just in our Sissy Squad, but I mean our sissies who listen to our show, who are listening right now to this podcast. I just want to say thank you because, let me look. I'm trying to look and see.
We were like number 20, weren't we?
No, I think because of you guys, see y'all, Southern Charm was like number 40 in the TV.
Not Southern Charm.
I'm sorry, Sweet Tea was in top 20 of after shows on Apple Podcast. And that's because you've tweeted about it, you've Facebooked about it.
Thank you guys.
You've left 5-star reviews about it. Some of you left the 1-stars, but that's fine too.
I haven't looked. Someone did that?
No, I'm kidding. I don't know. Oh. So anyway, y'all,
What are their addresses?
Anyway, we just...
Why would you leave a 1-star review? Why not just like not leave a review? That's just malevolent.
Somebody left a 1-star review because I think we talked about their state being homophobic. Sorry.
What state was it?
I don't know.
Charleston or South Carolina? They are.
I don't know. No, it wasn't in Sweet Tea. That was in that was in 90 Day Gays.
Oh. Chance, anyway. You know, all states are homophobic, even California.
Yeah, it happens. Anyway, we just wanted to say, I was looking
maybe
to see
not Vermont. Vermont's gay.
Oh,
Vermont
it's so
is a gay state.
It's a gay, gay state.
When all the states get together, Vermont is like, hi.
It is. It's like, hey, and it's wearing like, yeah, crystals. And
even New Hampshire is like, God, I can't with this
guy. Yeah, they're like, ugh, again.
I have to sit next to her on the daily.
on the daily.
And this bitch is awful.
Awful.
I can't handle her. She's
no more.
So gay. Vermont is gay.
She's all gay. Anyway, that's it. I think that's it for announcements. And so thank y'all.
Lesbian.
Yes. I can see your bush from here.
They won't admit it, but they're a lesbian.
Let's jump into this show.
Where are we? Did I just speculate on the sexual orientation of states?
Yes. And something that's even weirder than that is Patricia's picture of this dog.
I'm into it because it is called Poodle on Table with Writing Instrument. That she wants to be in her bedroom.
Y'all, I need someone to put Jake's face on that dog and make a painting of that, please.
And I'm going to put it in your bedroom so you can see me just like. And like my, and of course the ass is shaved just like my ass.
Just so. Yours would be you laying it. It could be called Poodle on Table with Writing Instruments. ... up his butthole.
Poodle on Table with Dildo.
With Dildo.
By Vermeer. Well, I also want to talk about. I don't know if you noticed this, and I maybe it happened probably happened last episode, or maybe Shep did it. Craig is doing the narration that Cam used to do.
He is doing the narration, yeah.
And it leaves a little to be desired because he's kind of say, and then like Leva decides to have a Persian party.
But it's true. But if you think about it, Craig is the most like, they want to get somebody who's like the least
likeable.
Character voice and likable. And that's Craig.
I agree, and he's been on the show. When we think about it, it's been Shep and Craig have probably been on the show the longest. Craig came
a little
bit later than Shep. And Catherine. Catherine can't do it, though. But
Catherine can't do it. By the way,
Craig is beloved.
He is beloved. And someone also came for us and said that they gave us 5 stars, but they also read us on our review and basically said that I forgot that Austin is
these reviews on the air.
Austin is from North Carolina. We said he was a Yankee. She said he is from North Carolina.
I could see that. Well, parts of North Carolina are quite Yankee. That said just like a South Carolinian.
Wow.
That was my mother's voice. I just embodied her right there. Well, you know, parts of North Carolina, they are quite Yankee.
No, they're not. That's the South. It's below Virginia. Virginia's the South. Anything in Virginia.
Girl, they almost
Yankee.
Turned blue this year. Are you kidding me?
Now the South will be saying that about Georgia.
Oh, God bless. Hopefully. Anyway. So there are parts of y'all, if I can go into a restaurant dressed in drag and not get hit in the head with a brick, that's a little Yankee, just to be honest. In a way, that sounds like a great thing to me.
Good. Yes, that was, yes. Let's hope that for everybody. So y'all, this is starting off in the middle of Austin's house.
Yes. And I think it's time that we dramatize this in a medium we call Southern Charm Theater. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I'll be playing the role of Austin with his tongue. He's too much for his mouth.
And I'll be playing Craig.
Turn it off, it's loud.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning. Did you sleep? Well, Craig, your shoes are all over the place. Why are your
what
shoes
do you
all
mean?
Over the place?
I don't have a closet. Where do you think? Where am I going to keep all my pillows?
You could put them over there where the word art says follow your dreams. You can put them underneath the terrible decoration that I've achieved for this house.
Why are you walking in around the house with a shirt on? You know I like it when you're shirtless.
Can I have some of your popcorn you just popped?
Yes. If you eat it after I put it in my hands, and maybe we could reach in the popcorn bucket together.
Wait.
What's happening?
And now, what? Did you
what?
Cut all of this popcorn? Why does it feel like skin?
See, aren't you glad you used my fingernail clippers or your hands wouldn't be so soft?
Oh, wait, this feels good. What is this?
This feels
is
good.
It like, is it like popcorn?
What's happening?
Good in my hand.
You know what? We need to start talking about you being a businessman because I'm erect.
What does the wreck mean?
This is why you're not going to be a good businessman.
Craig, you're like Tony Robinson.
Is that for a second, I thought you were going to say Tony Roma, and I was like, I've never made ribs in my life.
Let's go drink, and then let's go home and watch.
You've got to focus on your company. You've got to focus on your company. Listen, you've got to be dedicated. You've got to be serious, and you can't give up on this, Austin. Do you hear me?
I want to focus on your company.
You want to go bar hopping tonight?
Yeah.
And scene.
I know your Craig is pretty accurate. My Austin's not. I just picture my tongue weighs 300 pounds.
Your voice is not accurate, but your intentions is perfect. So I'll give you that. You know, for me, it's the character. I'd rather have the character solidified than the voice.
Look like this with my tongue hanging out of my mouth.
Yeah. Yeah.
Austin's an idiot. He's also a douchebag. He's my least favorite person in the cast, and that includes Catherine, who's a terror this season.
Although, as you've said before, y'all, he can fuck well. Like I really hope.
Okay.
I really hope Craig lets women peg him, because I bet Craig is not good in bed and just lays
He's
there.
Not.
But you know, Craig would love being rimmed. Can you imagine the first time Craig got rimmed? Oh my God. What are you doing? Wow. I just have to lay here. Oh my God. Finally.
He's so selfish in bed. Craig is very selfish in bed.
Yeah, and but he probably doesn't love blowjobs because he's like, why do I have to get hard? Just suck on my limp dick, please. And that's why he likes to get rimmed.
I want to point out that I learned a term this episode.
What?
That Austin says, hey, Craig, you got on Mary. You got on Mary last night. And he's like, a mysterious alcohol-related injury. M-A-R-I. Do you hear that?
I didn't realize that's what it was. Wow.
Y'all, come at me if you've had a Mary. I've had several.
You've had several.
I mean, lots.
Y'all.
A lot.
Poodle injures himself all the time when he's sober.
Bruises. Oh, God.
You've twisted your ankle twice when you're drunk, or three times.
I have twisted my ankle twice.
And one had to be on crutches.
Yes. I will find phantom bruises. I will find, usually it's just bruises. However, if I'm drunk and have sex with someone, I'm like, what are these abrasions? Are these cigarette burns?
There is one time where you were like, what is this on my chest? And I said, Jake, those are teeth marks. Someone was biting you.
That was when I had sex with the guy who wouldn't stop biting my nipples. And it looked like I'd been nursing a baby.
Y'all, he walked around for a week just going, holding up his arms to and just going, ow.
And I took my fist like this, like, and I hit him in the side of the head. Like, it was crazy violent sex.
Which probably turned him on even more.
It kind of did. It was a problem. I got rid of him real quick. Y'all, I'm okay with a little pain, but don't bite my fucking nipples.
Ugh. Not me. I don't want pain.
All I want to do is make love to you. Except for the older black man who poured wax on you. Oh, dis-moi.
You know what? That's okay, because the stuff he did with his penis, it was like seeing Fantasia for the first time. You're just like, I didn't know flamingos and hippos could do that.
That was the gayest thing I've ever heard. You know how I've said that before? That's the gayest thing I've ever heard. It was like seeing Fantasia for the first time. Is the gayest thing I've ever heard.
Because didn't you think, was it me, or you know, Night on...
Your tongue is thick because you've been drinking.
Kate Hudson vodka, y'all. It's good. Night on Bald Mountain. Right? Yeah. Isn't that what it's called?
Yeah.
But that Fantasia where the mountain comes alive and it's like a bat. Remember that? And he's like doing the flames and everything.
I do, but I wasn't sexually aroused.
Oh, you didn't think that mountain was attractive?
No. Oh. I wasn't sexually aroused by any of Fantasia.
I thought that mountain was so hot. You didn't think the minotaurs, the half men, half horses, were hot?
No, sorry. I think I stopped paying attention. As someone who's in music, I stopped watching the images because they were too much for me, and I just had to turn my head away to listen to the music.
I think I zoned out. I'm not going to say her name, but people say, Mother Poodle, why is Jay Bird have his head in that pillow watching Fantasia?
We don't talk about it, Mary.
I don't know, Mary. I don't know what to do with this kid.
I don't know. And then she just bites the side of her jaw like Rebecca and worries. Anyway, y'all. So Austin, they're getting pointers. And so meanwhile, Madison is coming over to Catherine's townhouse because Catherine is cleaning out her townhouse because the painters came over. And
threw all her shit in the middle of the room.
And Catherine has an opportunity to learn a new word called ombre, but she decides not to.
I think it was one of the most egregious things I've ever heard when Catherine said she wanted to organize the books by color.
No, that's how that's how Oprah says you organize your books. I know that.
No, it's not.
I know that.
Like Lindsay from Love After Lockup. No, it's not, Scott.
No, you didn't say it like that. You actually said that like fucking like Sheldon from The Big Bang Theory.
No, that's not the way you said it.
I really watched Young Sheldon a lot, and I love that show. And I realize Annie Potts is fantastic on it. But I realize that young character is such a little pissy bitch like you are sometimes, because that's exactly what he would have said. But for them, for people that aren't book people, books are more visual. So they take the plastic covers off the books and they organize them by color, and it's more pleasing to the eye. His face looks like I'm going to kill baby rabbits.
You can kill them if you want. Now, books are a problem.
How do you organize books, Poodle?
You organize what looks good with what the theme of the book is about, or you decide what looks good juxtaposed next to something. You don't put them all in the same thing. You don't put all the orange books together or the blue books together. That's like saying, I'm going to put, you know, let's just put all the white people together. Let's put all the black people together. Let's
okay, this is
people together.
This is about books. This is not about people. So I don't think it's the same thing.
Might as well be. It makes no sense to me. It's not an organizing principle. You can have books of all shapes and all sizes next to each other. And I want to know, why are you a book segregationist? Why don't you sit with that for a little bit?
You know, it does look pretty. I don't know. I don't mind it.
Well, books are not for your decoration. Books are not to look at just for the covers. Books are to take knowledge and to gain something and to find something to live with. So you can think on that. You can use your books for show.
I just sent you a picture. I think it looks pretty.
What anyway. Is it? Don't send me texts in the show.
If you're
so
interested,
gross.
If you're interested in organizing
That's
your book,
terrible. That's terrible.
If
That's
you're interested, it's called awful. The Home Edit Life. It's a book. You can check it out.
That's absolutely awful and needs to die. That looks like some type of like paint. That looks like a paint. What do they call paint samples? That's awful. That's actually garbage. Garbage, garbage, garbage. You're wrong. I'm going to say
I'm actually not saying that I agree with it. I'm just putting it
it's
out
terrible.
There.
It's terrible. You sent me that to send me into a spiral.
Yep. Really, I'm having a good time right now. I'm not going to lie. I'm having a good time.
It is wrong to do that with your books, y'all. It is wrong to do that. You let your books live free. Don't organize them by color, because that color was chosen by their fucking publisher, not their author. A color means nothing what's inside the book.
So we're done with this section, basically. Catherine kind of
took a stand. I didn't expect
Catherine kind of alludes to this, that she's still kind of hoping that maybe, I don't know, that like the family unit of... I don't want to talk about this a lot because honestly, y'all, I think Thomas Ravenel is a fucking rapist and a cokehead, and I really don't want to talk about him a lot. I just want to, but I want to acknowledge that there is for a lot of women more than men, but you break up with somebody who you know is bad for you, but do you feel guilt or shame, especially when you have kids, about the loss of the family? Y'all, you got to do what's best for you, because that is one thing, give her, love or hate her, that's one thing I love about Madeline. When Catherine said, you know, sometimes Madison, boy, this Kate Hudson vodka's kicking in.
If I wasn't here, y'all, it would just be him basically talking in a different language.
I'd just be like fucking J.R.O. Tolkien over here talking in Elvish.
It's so bad.
One dick to rule them all.
But y'all, I've just
I wrote down please don't get back with him. Why are you saying this? This is almost like an abused woman coming back for
Yeah. And so I'm just telling you, if you're feeling like that, y'all, that's give her love or hate her, but I do love Madison. That Madison's like, no. I don't want to be my ex.
That's like the one or the first or second good thing she did this entire episode. This wasn't a big episode for her, which is always better for me because you know how I feel about her.
Oh, they're building up to it. So they're building up.
Yeah,
to it.
Yeah, she's going to show her ass. She'll show her ass next episode.
Catherine was talking about her mom. She's talking about how her mom was, and that's got to be hard. I think that just of having... memories of taking care of her mom in that house. And it's just hard to be in that house after her mom died. So anyway, that's just that there's nothing really to say about that except for that's sad.
Yeah. I mean, this sounds really bad to say. I don't see Catherine going in a really good direction right now. And we're seeing the show that was filmed, you know, probably 6-8 months ago. But boy, her skin doesn't look good. I don't know if you could tell. She's wearing a lot more makeup. She doesn't look good. And I'm concerned.
She doesn't look super healthy. I agree with exactly. that. She looks kind of like bloated. And I don't mean that from a weight issue. I mean,
it's a little bloat. Yeah. And it's
like whether it's an alcohol thing or.
We're not coming at her because of her appearance. She doesn't look well. That's what I'm saying. And I'm
because last season she looked well.
Yeah. And this sounds terrible to say. If she doesn't either change her life or sober up or find a new lifestyle, I don't see it doing well for her. I'm really worried.
I think to do that, she would have to move out of Charleston.
I agree.
I don't think she'll ever do that.
Yeah.
I think
a huge, huge life scare. Maybe.
I think her hair color is too dark too on this season.
That may makes her skin look even worse. Yeah, that has something to do with it.
So
I'm
anyway,
really worried about her though.
It's interesting this episode. Like things happened, but this really was. I mean, this was the second episode. It was building. Third episode. It was the third episode. Like
no,
nothing.
It was the second episode.
Nothing was really dramatic to me, except for at
you
the very.
But this episode, I was kind of like, "Eh, it was okay to me."
I changed my mind. The Kate Hudson vodka kicked in. It was okay.
You know what? It's interesting. For you, vodka brings out the truth. It's not, we don't see any of the fake positivity. I kind of like it on you.
I don't think my positivity is never, I take offense to that. My positivity is never fake. I choose to, you just are negative.
You know, I'm real. I'm real.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not saying, you know what? I apologize. I don't mean fake positivity. You try always to see the best side, and I just get past that.
And no, I agree with that. I do that.
Yeah. Anyway, because people,
I wasn't offended. I was just saying,
people,
but I wasn't.
People will always let you down. I know that sounds like a terrible
thing. Wow. Okay. If you're going through a hard time, I don't want to agree with that. You got, I think sometimes people can really come through for you in life. Wow. Someone just said, well, what's the point? And just drove off the cliff. Thanks, Poodle.
I mean, don't deify people. That's what I mean.
Put that on your word art for pillows. People will always let you down.
Let you down, Dash Poodle.
Poodle Home Collection coming 2040.
What I mean is that don't deify people. Don't hold people up as examples. We're all human and we're all very, very fallible and we're all very, very fragile.
This is true.
And so that's what I mean. I should say that. It's just like the pastor from Hillsong who was held up as Justin Bieber's pastor and all these famous people, you know, he just had to resign because they hold their people in such a moral standard. Y'all don't pull over.
What did he resign for? I didn't know.
He had an affair. He infidelity. I'm saying don't, it's the same, you know, the phrase, don't meet your heroes. Don't deify people. Don't hold people up on a pedestal.
And to me, if I had a preacher who had an affair, who actually came back from that and learned and was able to preach about not even forgiveness, but more of just their experience with what that is.
You think it's useful for people?
I think, yeah. So
yeah, that's not how. Hillsong and kind of non-denominational Christianity works because it's all
that's
about.
Why religion didn't work for me super well because I wasn't judgmental enough.
It didn't work for you because you're a big faggot.
That too. That too.
Let's add some clarity.
That too.
Mama, how come Jesus looks so attractive wearing that loincloth?
Matthew, shut up.
Well, Mama, God said love is love.
Matthew, shut up.
I'm just saying I can see it calling in as berries, Mama.
Matthew.
Yeah, it didn't work for you because you want to suck dick and you're a guy.
Wow.
Anyway. So, y'all, let's keep going.
Shep and the dog version of Craig at the dog park. And I'm going to say, this dog park's amazing because there is a bar.
It is a nice dog park. I don't know why they haven't had one of these in Los Angeles, but this was, they need to have one.
Oh my God. I would get a dog. I would get a dog if my dog park had a bar.
Did they show a King Charles Spaniel? Didn't they show one? Or was it a Cocker?
I think, that was basically the King Charles Spaniel was even though they said poodle, it looked more like a King Charles Spaniel that Patricia had.
Y'all, so that's anyway. The dog Poodle loves, but then he realized he started thinking about getting one and then he researched it and realized it's a really high maintenance dog.
Yeah. And I'm too allergic to him. I need a hypoallergenic dog. Strangely, I need a poodle. Y'all don't pull over. It's crazy. You know, in Los Angeles.
You really should get a poodle. They're very nice dogs. They're very, very smart.
I'm afraid the dog would outsmart me, to be honest.
It would. It would.
Thanks for your support. Anyway. So, little Craig, of course, goes right in the mud because he's a little rapscallion. And Danny shows up with her dog, Lucy. By the way, two dogs are named Lucy. Leva's dog is also named Lucy.
My very first dog was named Lucy. She was a boxer. I loved her. I loved Lucy. How'd you know she's a boxer? I've never talked about her before.
Said it at least 900.
Lucy bucks. Was so sweet. She'd push me. I'd dress up as Santa, and she'd push me in the red wagon and be my little reindeer. She's very nice unless you try to take her food away. Then she'd bite your hand. She died of heartworms when I went to visit my Aunt Karen in Kansas. My grandpa called and just told us the dog was dead. I didn't even get to see their burial.
How old were you?
8. That's when I learned about death.
Not traumatic at all.
Yeah.
How long did you have Lucy?
I was 8. We got her when I was a puppy, a little baby.
Oh, wow. Wow, that is traumatic.
And I told my brother, said, "Are you upset, Matt?" And then I said, "Oh, Bubba, I'm not going to cry about it. Be emotional." And that says something. And I haven't cried to this day.
I know. You really don't cry. I cry. I'm a total crier. I will cry at anything. For this one to cry, that someone has to die.
Even then, I'm pretty good.
It's weird. I mean, you would think it would be the opposite, that he would be the crier. No, y'all, my emotions are right on the surface always.
I would like to learn more. You know, they say they have those acting classes that you can take, and some of them are just literally getting actors to learn how to cry. I would totally take one just to do that, because there's nothing wrong with crying. It's no, just something great.
How sad for you that you're not in touch.
And ironically, my brother is such a crier.
Yeah.
He has cried all through this thing with my dad, and I haven't even teared up once.
You know, I think it's just I think it's how you handle pain and stressors. It's if you let it in a little bit, you're going to cry. And if you decide this is what I'm going to do with it. But if I'm really stressed, I won't cry, but something emotionally that I'm not really prepared for, or even a commercial, I will tear up. A movie like Atonement, you guys, or a movie like, oh my God, what did I watch recently that I wept at? Oh my God, I can't even remember.
Boss Baby 3.
Return of the Boss.
Y'all, our friend JP Karliak plays the Boss Baby.
JP Karliak, yeah.
Y'all, we should move on, because this reminds me of the other review we got that said, it said 4 stars, less personal stuff, more show.
Yeah, I'm not going to listen to that at all. Y'all, and I think right now is a good time. We're going to take a little break. Oh,
y'all, we have so much.
Don't breathe in the mic.
We have so much more to talk about, and that's because Poodle's been off so many tangents this episode.
You had
I
to
apologize.
Talk about your goddamn boxer growing up,
Lucy. Don't bring her up again.
Which you've said. I would ask you the same. Don't bring boy. Your fucking boxer up again.
Ooh, this is my third Kate Hudson vodka.
Boy, this is someone who's outpacing me right now.
Yeah.
No, let's move
the
on.
The vodka I pour in my drink is like drip, drip, and yours is like drip, drip, drop, little April showers.
You know what?
I can handle it.
Yeah. So anyway, the dog park, Craig and Danny, sorry, Shep and Danny are talking about...
He apologizes to her.
He apologizes to her about the whole chlamydia thing. If you guys don't remember from last season, Madison, Maddie's favorite cast member, basically accused... Shep of Danny giving Danny chlamydia. You don't come back after that.
You don't. And so that is one reason why I thought this was a little of, I don't know. It was just kind of like, hey, I just want to let you know, I'm really, really sorry about that. She's like, I know. I'm so sorry. Uh-huh. Oh, look at our dogs. Oh, they're in the marsh. It was just kind of washed over, I thought.
This is par for the course for Bravo shows, to find things to do, to talk about nothing. Why are you surprised?
No, but the fact that it's like, I guess that is par, but they're like, hey, I'm so sorry that I killed your husband. I know. Well, look at the dogs.
You're bearing the lead, though. The most important thing we find out is that Shep is in therapy and he's really serious about his girlfriend. They don't know their boyfriend and girlfriend yet, but that's the lead, because that's going to lead into the next Mattis, the double date. So I don't think it was a non-necessary scene at all.
No. I wasn't saying it was not necessary. You misunderstood me. I'm saying I felt like it was a weak apology for all the shit that went down with Danny. It just felt very much.
Oh,
And maybe it was edited out, but it felt like there was 2 minutes of let me apologize and talk about this.
Okay, we're apologized. Done. Madison hasn't.
Oh, Madison will never apologize.
So why do you, but I'm just
but this
curious
isn't about Madison. This isn't about Madison at all. This is about Shep and Danny claim to be really good friends and have a good relationship.
Yeah.
And this and it, I don't know.
But Austin told Madison that. So it
I know,
wasn't
it's really
anything Shep.
Film. That's what I want to see. I want to see Danny talk to Austin, but that's never going to happen.
Yeah, but the fact that Madison brought it up, I don't think that Shep owed Danny an apology. He was doing it mostly out of just niceness. He's like, he was basically saying, I'm sorry all that happened to you.
Yeah, I guess. But you love Shep more than I do.
I don't love him. That's a strong word. I understand him. I understand how Shep moves. And I think he's a lot better this season because he was so nasty last season.
Yeah, but you would let him probably thrust his dick in your mouth and spooge all over you and then roll over and you would lay there in shame.
I wouldn't because I don't want herpes.
Ah.
Which he definitely has.
Again.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, so let's move on to Leva, which was the most interesting thing about the episode for me.
Same.
So Leva's mother, Nahid, is taking care of, I guess she doesn't want to name her child, which makes perfect sense, but he's called Little.
At first I was like, wait, that can't be his real name.
If Little is the child's Christian name, we need to talk.
Y'all, come at us. If Little is the, I really like Leva, and Leva, if you're listening, if Little is the actual name of your child.
I doubt it is.
Then I can't like you. I can't.
I'd still like her, but I would really read her for her child's name.
I would read you for it. Now, if it's a nickname that you want to name your kid that so celebrities or people don't know who your kid is, it makes me respect you
that's
more.
That's great. Yeah, I think that's probably the issue.
What would you name your kid? Or no, better yet, what would you want your name to be
if you were a child? I don't know what you're
asking, drunkie. What? I'm not drunk. What would you want? Yeah, look who's calling the kettle slosh.
I've had one drink, and you've had at least three.
Please. No. Who would you? What would
this
you want
is
your
number
nickname
two.
To be? Yeah. What would you want your nickname to be?
Wait, my child's nickname or my nickname? I'm confused.
Okay, so let's imagine.
This
that.
Is a weird question.
So let's imagine. Okay, close your eyes. Okay, just picture.
I don't want to close my eyes.
Just close your eyes and picture it, you whore, and picture it that, I don't know, an angel won a lottery and cast a magic spell to actually make your womb finally fertile after all these years.
Oh.
And you had a child, and...
Oh, it's dark and decrepit down there. I don't
and
know.
You had a child, and the child was born, and you
It'd
were going to
be
on TV.
Thing one and thing two.
So if I had two children. There we go. And
thing one and thing two.
And the angel looks up at God and he says, you picked the wrong bitch.
It's like, that's all we had left. Everyone else that had a kid, yeah, I guess.
Yeah, I told you. I told you to give it to Rick Moranis. He needed it.
God bless Rick Moranis. So Leva really wants to have a Persian dinner. And she says she's Irini. And that's a thing. That would basically means very strongly Persian or Iranian in identity. And culture. Persian and Iranian.
I didn't know that word, did you? I loved it.
I learned it. I looked it up. So
oh, cool.
After that. And so she's helping her mom make all these. So she's kind of a Persian in, she knows some of the customs, but she was born here. Because they went to the U.S. immediately. So she doesn't really know how to make tons of the food. She knows the customs and she knows what things are, but not like her mother, who knows how to make the food, knows why they came here. And you've had Persian food, right? Persian food is delicious.
It is.
It's so good. We have some Persian restaurants here. Actually, L.A. is home to like one of the biggest Persian communities outside of Iran.
You know what I love about this? I love that to me, and maybe it doesn't seem to other people, and if it doesn't, you know, look at that. But to me, this is just so American. This is so American to me. Like, this feels American and patriotic to me in the sense
I don't know what you're talking about. What is this?
I love that this way that, like, this is what's cool about, to me, America, even if you're white, If you live in the South, you have different cults, customs than people in the North. If you, and I love that she is, what is so American about this to me is that her family came from another country and she is culturally, she is a Rooney.
Oh, yeah, she's all over the place.
She's
yeah.
culturally Iranian, but she grew up, I mean, she.
No, she's not culturally Iranian. She's culturally American, but she has all these different parts of herself.
I thought it said Rooney said culturally, she feels culturally Iranian.
But she's saying she feels that way. Read it.
You looked it up and I was going off the Southern charm definition, yeah. which I'm sure Whitney fucked up. And, but you know what I'm saying is I love that. This is what I love about, I think, in America, that it's what's a really a cool thing about our country is because we're such a landmass, just so big and have so many different people that we can, to me, I just think I love that. I love that she's trying to change the dynamic of this show is that it was just it's the America I relate to more than like it's I guess that's on my mind because like my dad will say not really. I mean, I'm sure there is tinges of racism in it, but because of where because he's in Oklahoma where there's just white people. But he'll say the hospital, he'll say things like he doesn't have any problem with anyone, but he's just shocked that there's so many people in Houston that are not white.
Yeah.
And he's just, and whereas I'm but like, I tell I dad, find, I'm like, dad, this looks like Los Angeles to me.
I find that to be very synonymous with what people think America is.
Yes.
I can't be as positive as you are about what you think America, I think you're putting a really nice sheen on what you hope America to be and what you celebrate America
about. No.
About.
I'm not saying it's not Pollyanna and you're taking it the wrong way. I'm saying that though it is important for people who do believe in that, like myself, to say on a forum like this for other people to know, this is what America is to me. And as in, I think that's important as a white American for me to say, when I go to places that are just white, it does not feel like America to me. That does not feel like that is not home to me. So that's
totally
why I think
agree.
It's important to say that.
I totally agree. And I'm sure that's changed for you basically when you moved to Los Angeles.
Yeah, it didn't happen in Dallas, Texas.
Yeah. But and so that just tells you, you guys, you have to be exposed to different types
travel,
of people.
Travel, everybody, travel.
But no, I just want to be really clear that this wasn't your idea at age 12. Of what
no,
America
no,
was.
No, I'm just saying that it is, but it's, and what I think she makes a good, and we'll talk about this later, dinner party, that's not the, this is not what a lot of people think in South Carolina of kind of like what and is America as well.
I want to speak to this. And she said, you know, she even said, I want to make this a dinner that's saying, you know, I'm wide open here. I'm brown. You're white. He's black, meaning her husband. This is us. Here we are.
He's also hot.
And I will agree with her when she was talking later about, she's like, I'm in Charleston and I see white people at one place and black people at another place. There's nothing else. And especially when she probably got there, it's a little more diverse now, but that's South Carolina. You will see a lot more brown people now. Because of kind of how brown people have kind of moved in as the cultural like farm workers,
the labor
and
force,
the labor force, yeah. And you will see that a lot. But before, when I was growing up there, there was the black people who were the workforce, and white people who were the other, everything else but the workforce.
Mm-hmm.
Which
is how Oklahoma was when I grew up, but it's not like, it's exactly as you describe it now.
I think our percentage of black population is probably bigger than yours though.
Probably. You know, I remember we had a gentleman from, they were Muslim Iranian and they opened a popular pizza place, in Long Grove and it was really, really popular. And then when 9/11 happened, they shut down.
They opened
their pizza place in the bigger town of Ardmore, which is still small, but they literally couldn't. And I think they've since reopened, but it was such a, it was very hard. It was very, very hard for them to, not be equivocated with being terrorists and shit.
That's
like
terrible.
That. But I'm sure Leva doesn't talk about that, but I feel like whether you're Iranian,
they asked her. She spoke English. She blah blah blah.
Yeah, you kind of get put into that.
Yeah, it's. I'm sure it was hard for her. I'm sure it was very hard for her because Charleston is such a place where, where'd you come from? Who are your people?
You know, I mean,
South Carolina is like that, but Charleston is really like that.
It is really a blessing that we are dick pigs because you guys, we are not discerning. We have we are like, we could do a ride of called It's a Slut World After All.
And it just would be every race, creed.
Yeah, it would just be a cartoon version of me and Poodle just, or Poodle and I rather, sitting on different dicks from other countries.
Chunk, chunk.
It's a dick joke. From Libya, a dick exactly. From Guam. It's a dick from France.
I have my favorite. I have my national favorites, but I don't discriminate.
No, we'll try everything. Well,
I'll try. I'll try more than anything once. Or more than once.
More.
So let's move on to John Pringle, and I've got to be honest. John Pringle does it for me. And I know we have some people who say, oh, John Pringle's got scrawny arms. We were sent a text message today.
He looks like he smells a little bit. He looks like he smells to me.
Oh, I disagree, and I'm so into it.
I know. He looks like he smells, but as soon as he took off his shirt and rode that bull, y'all.
I was in before that. Here's the thing, y'all.
Hashtag Daddy Pringle. I'm calling it now, Daddy Pringle.
Here's the problem.
Daddy Pringle.
John Pringle will make you fall in love with him with his devil may care attitude and his twinkly, crinkly eyes and his beard and his
rock hard
chest.
And his rock hard abs.
And yeah, and they're not rock hard, but they're just enough.
No, did you not? They look really, he's like a 2020 Burt Reynolds.
He's not, his abs aren't rock hard. Come on. You need to lay off the vodka. But anyway, he's kind of got this, he's this kind of lovable free spirit. And I'm telling you, all women out there and a lot of gay men, and I'm talking to me, y'all we've all fallen for a John Pringle. We've all fallen for that. And because he speaks my language and he's got that twinkle in his eye, and John Pringle's the kind of guy we think about when he's not around. All the time.
Well, John Pringle is a guy that would be so comfortable in a gay bar that he would flirt with all the gay men and drive Poodle crazy.
Oh, yes. That's the thing.
I mean,
he
even hug him and rub his back whenever. Poodle, just imagine. Close your eyes, Poodle. If you're talking to John Pringle and he hugs you.
This is why the show is long, by the way.
And he rubs your
eyes.
Yeah.
So
he's hot.
He's at his sister's house and they're Irish twins. And the other thing, y'all, this is the thing. John Pringle is a straight guy who actually listens what other people have to say. Austin is not one of those.
No.
Craig is barely one of those sometimes. Thomas, definitely not one of those. Shep can be sometimes.
Very rarely. But I want to counter with that and say they never had to. Because they have all been white men that live in the middle of Charleston, South Carolina, where white men are the top of the chain.
Yeah.
And not that white men are at the top of the chain ever. But he moved to San Diego, California, which is a much different type of community. And suddenly, being a Pringle, nobody gave a fuck his name was Pringle. They were just like, do you eat chips? They don't know. And so I think that probably was very enlightening for him and probably gave him the idea of seeing that the world is not always his oyster.
Yeah. And so we meet his sister, Virginia, or Jenny, and they're Irish twins.
I love that name.
And I have an Aunt Jenny. She's dead now. He's talking to his sons, who he calls my boo-boos. And you can tell, y'all, you may hate John Pringle, but you cannot say he doesn't love his kids. It just radiates from him. And you
can
tell
he had to move away from him.
Yeah.
Sad that he had to move away from his kids.
I don't.
No, I'm not judging him. I'm saying it's sad he had to move away.
That was riddled with judgment.
I didn't mean it that way. I meant sad.
No, what you just said was riddled with judgment. Sad he had to move away from him.
Oh,
glad
God.
He's not a good dad.
Oh, God. Kate Hudson Vodka makes me a poodle.
Yeah, it does.
Makes me a judgy bitch.
No, it makes you worse than me, which is something.
No, I don't.
Anyway, So we see his ex-wife, Heidi, and they, and she's very pretty, they co-parent, and it seems like it's great. Mm-hmm. And this is the thing. This is another reason I fall in love with John Pringle. And I know this script, y'all, and I know this is why I have to gird my loins with John Pringle, because, like, I don't like dating. I just fall in love.
Oh, when he said that, I went, fuck, Jay. God. See, this
I've
is
dated
where he,
so many gay guys like that,
this
by the
is
way.
Where, ironically, y'all, I know you would think this, that it'd be the round. Poodle is the romantic and get caught
up
in that.
Oh, I'm such a romantic.
So as soon as a guy, if a guy said that to me in a bar, I would roll my eyes and be like, I'm not into you. I'm not into the game and the chase and the,
no, here's the thing.
And the theatrics of love. But you are.
I will look into his eyes and I can tell if he's into it or not.
Oh, God. Oh, this is why you make bad choices.
No. Yeah, you're right. So... he shows.
Y'all, I wish you could have seen his face because he was really trying to disagree with me there.
No, you're right.
And
you're
then right. It hit
I
him like a brick.
Because I am a romantic. Because you know what? I believe in the ideal of people. I believe that, in a way, I've said,
okay,
you know,
this is no. This is someone that 30 minutes ago said, people always let you down.
You know what? Your idols will always let you down. And that's why. And that I believed in the ideals of people. No. I'm saying one is attached with the other.
You get digmatized and love, and all your ideals go out the window.
No. I'm saying that's why. That's why I say your ideals will let you down. Because I've set this person into the stars. Because they say things like that. And I'm like, your heroes will let you down. He's basically, he shows his sister a pic of Madison. He's like, what do you think? She's like, oh, you're fucked. You're screwed. So Leva is talking with her sister Mona in the car, and both of them are so pretty. And
they're beautiful.
And they're like trying to decide if they're going to invite Catherine or not. And it's this kind of weird, like, non-starter. Of course they're going to invite her because she's drama and she's crazy. They call Catherine and she's like, come, you want to come and blah, blah, blah. You know, you just don't come up dressed like Princess Jasmine. And I think Catherine needed to hear that because she would have in a complete belly dancing outfit.
So she said, what made me laugh, she said, just come as a Persian princess. And I thought, I'm just going to Google Persian princess and poodle. I took a screenshot. This is the first picture I found.
Show me.
I texted
you. Or you text it to me. Why don't you?
Because I can't show you anything in the app.
I'm not seeing anything. Can you not have your phone off on?
Sorry.
Please silence your phone.
I am.
Y'all, how many successive podcasts have we had where he said there had a text or his phone rings?
You know, I'm trying to keep my father alive. It's been difficult.
He's in the next room. You're fine.
He's sleeping.
That's not a cute Persian princess that you sent to me.
That's not a cute Persian princess.
Those are some eyebrows.
Those are some eyebrows.
And a mole on her lip that is basically looking at me and waving at me.
There's like a whole, this
yeah,
might be a
there's
famous
a mustache
Persian
situation.
There's a whole unibrow going on.
Mm-hmm. Let's, the less said, the better. So the next thing that happens, you guys, is Madison and Madison, Austin is picking up Madison, and of course, I guess that, like, Austin's been introduced to Hudson, her son. They've probably been dating for real about a year and a half now.
For real. His hair always looks perfect.
The son's really cute.
I really want him to be gay. I really
let's not put that on that child.
No, I mean that in a good way. Like, Madison would be such a good mom to a gay kid. You know
why
she would.
Why don't we not try
that
to?
Kid in
why
South
don't
Carolina
we not
fight
try to determine what the sexuality of an 8-year-old child?
It's not really
is.
About him. It's more about, I think Madison would just tell people off.
Maybe. So they're meeting Shep and Taylor out, which is going to be the double date from hell, which definitely production organized. None of these people would ever want to have a double date.
Ever,
let's just be clear.
Never.
So. Taylor, they're at this restaurant. They're basically trying to, they're chatting, and they're like, and Madison's trying to get at Shep because she still thinks that Shep hates her. And I think Shep is trying to distance himself from it. And I think she's being the aggressor here.
I agree with that.
And,
hard. I see where she gets it because I agree. If Peter and them Peter and whatever his girlfriend name came to that party, it's a catch 22. They're friends with him, but I could see how Madison would feel like Shep was trying to set her up again. But the problem with Madison is, and she says it, the thing that is frustrating about Madison, she knows she's defensive. She knows she's petty.
Very defensive.
She knows she's bullheaded, but she doesn't work on any of those things. She goes full force. And I think that's a lot of, y'all, right now she's pretty and she's young and she gets away with it.
It's not going to be cute later.
It's not going to be cute when she's 45 doing this. It's not going to be cute.
So basically we have...
Not that I'm talking from experience.
Not at all. And did you notice that they both men ordered for the women? Did you notice that?
No, I didn't.
Oh, yeah, they did. They're like, and she's going to have the blah, blah, blah. I've seen that happen.
That almost made me throw up my Kate Hudson vodka.
No, I've seen that happen in the South, and I've always been, and I guess it's easy to do, but I would never, even if I'm out with a guy, I would never speak for him. I would definitely never speak for a woman.
I mean, I love it when my boyfriend orders for me, but he asks me what I want, or I'll say, I don't care, honey, just pick
stuff. He orders for you.
I'll tell him what I want. I'll say, we'll talk about what are you going to get? I don't know. What are you going to get? And I'll say, I think I'm going to get the salmon. He's like, okay. And so he'll usually say, go ahead. Or sometimes I'll say, because he's more picky about food and I eat everything, I'm like, go ahead and pick, babe. And he'll order for me. And I love that.
Oh, so you're a basic female bitch. Okay.
Yeah. I think that it's like my...
I don't like it. I don't like when anyone speaks for me.
I think that there is a beauty in when you trust somebody for so long. And it's like, you know, this the only time I got emotional with all of the stuff with my dad is we had a really hard day last week and it was just, he didn't feel good and it was really hard. And so we got into the hospital. He was in the hospital for a couple of days and he came back and he finally was feeling better. And I do this thing with my dad where every night I tuck him into bed and I like kind of make, I'd be silly and I'm always trying to keep him laughing and positive. And so I tuck him in on the sides of the bed and I do this kind of silly thing, but I do exactly what he did to me when I was a kid.
That's sweet.
My parents would tuck me in every night. And my dad said, it really makes me emotional just thinking about it because he said, because it's so true. He was kind of half asleep and he rolled over and he said, you know, Matthew, it's nice to be taken care of like your little kids sometimes. I think everybody needs that. And it's just such like, so that's what I kind of like when but I understand where you're coming from. This is after my boyfriend didn't order for me like not even a year or two into our relationship. If somebody did that in the beginning of when I was dating them, I would just look at them. But after you've been with somebody for 5 years, it's nice that somebody can say, I mean, we're not in a relationship, but I can say, hi, I'll have a beer and she'll have a triple vodka with ice and a little bit of club soda.
The thing is,
hold the club soda and hold the ice.
Exactly. The thing is, I don't have a problem if we've talked about it and it's just easier for one
person.
Yeah,
that's what
we
do. He's never looked at me and said, you're having the chicken.
No. But there was something about it that triggered me and I don't know why.
No, it would trigger me with men and it would trigger me with, and not to sound
it was
sexist,
men and women. It was men
and women. It would trigger
like,
me.
It felt like they were being silenced
because
and
we don't want fucking men to speak for women. That's
and
why.
It may be completely me blowing this out of proportion, but it felt and both men did it for the women. It'd be different that if Austin or Shep had just said, he's going to have this, he's going to have this, he's going to have this, he's going to have this.
I don't think you're blowing it out of proportion. I think oppression happens in the details of people's
lives.
I
totally agree. It's microaggressions.
Yes. And so for me, that is super, super true. Because the flip side of that is, if Taylor and or Madison ordered for Shep and Austin, they would feel uncomfortable, and they would feel so uncomfortable.
You're right.
They would make it. So that's the litmus test, y'all. If it's comfortable both ways for both parties to do that, then you realize that there's a camaraderie and an equity in the relationship.
If there's reciprocity, it's okay. Yes.
If it feels unequal, it's because it is.
Yeah. I'm glad you felt that way because
I didn't notice it in the thing, but as you say it, I'm triggered.
It tweaked something in me. I'm gonna have to drink
some more Kate Hudson vodka because of this.
it's so interesting because like we're two white gay men, you guys, but both of us are very, very oftentimes sensitive to misogyny, especially to women, because we're definitely an oppressed group as well.
It's not the same as race or anything like that, so I don't want to compare to that. But
we're a minority, though.
But no, but there's a. I've talked about this with my partner a little bit because he's not feminine at all, and. Granted, it's not like a racial thing where the color of skin, but Jake and I were so growing up, so fucking gay, but moreover, so fucking feminine. Uh-huh. We were so feminine. We couldn't hide it. We can't hide it. We can't. Y'all, as an actor.
What are you talking about? I'm fine. Yeah,
as an actor, I'm not going to go in for a butch, like a guy who's in love with a woman. I'm not going in for that role.
Nope.
Nope, we're like not. Jake is never going to do a theater role where he's playing Curly from Oklahoma. More like he's going to be Ado Annie in drag.
Yeah, or I'd be Allie Hackam.
No, not even that. Come on, let's be honest.
Gertie.
You'd be Gertie.
That'd be definitely Gertie.
Definitely Gertie. But anyway, I would just want to say that we do relate to the fact of, I think, in our culture, you guys, not to bring you down, but there is a hatred of the feminine, whether it's women, definitely. Whether it's men. We live in a world that has hatred of the feminine. So I think we respond to that.
Yeah. At the end of this dinner, Madison basically pushes the issue and says, well, let's have the talk now. And God, I just want to punch her in the fucking face.
See, this is annoying things about Madison because she does that and you think she's kind of joking, but then you hear her say, well, if he gets in my relationship, I'm going to get in his.
It's all vengeance for her.
See, Madison is that person that will get stung by a wasp and then wait to go up and literally stir the hornet's nest instead of just letting it be.
She has a real fatal flaw for me. I will tell you now, the crew and the story editing will exploit that, and she will be the big bad again this season because
I think probably too. I think probably too.
So basically,
also you got to remember, Whitney is friends. Again, this goes back a little bit. You can tell the show is executive produced by a man in the South.
Oh, totally.
Whitney is always going to show loyalty at the end of the day to Shep and Craig and Austin. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Always.
I don't know. They made Austin look pretty bad last season. He was pretty bad. He looked pretty bad.
I don't know.
Shep basically says, "Yeah, I'm gonna DTR it. We're dating." And I was appalled.
This was the worst talk ever.
Well, it was, but honestly, for the man to say that without talking about it more,
I was
very impressed. I was shocked. Let's move on to the next day with Craig shirtless. Ugh, y'all, I'd still bang Craig. I know we talk about him. He's still the hottest guy on Southern Charm. Still.
You would for sure let him do coke off your dick.
Oh, in a second. Craig does so much drugs, y'all.
Craig does so much coke, y'all.
We would fall asleep high together, and it would just be a lot of soft kisses in the night. That just got really real because I imagined it.
Wow, that really made the Kate Hudson vodka come up.
Grabbing his like soft penis in the night because he couldn't get it up. Wow, that's real. Wow, I can see it.
I want to say I'm grossed out, but I am a little. I'm more just shocked at the detail.
Oh, I've thought about it. So there's tons of Bud Lights in the sink. Craig is shirtless, and Anna Hayward, his faithful assistant, calls and says,
"She better get paid a lot."
Craig, the house needs so much shit. You need to get in. You need to be up. You need to get out. You need to get a rental. Like, you got to get out of
Austin.
It's
just so stressful to deal with it.
And she's like, "You need to get a rental because fish and house guests stink after three days." And he's like, "I never heard that.
Who hasn't heard that before? Never Who hasn't heard that? Heard that? Next thing you're going to tell me is don't call the kettle black."
So let's move on to Leva's. Everyone's getting dressed for Leva's party. Everyone's
this party made me so hungry.
Oh my God. Y'all, Persian food or Iranian food, we have some restaurants here. Have you ever been to Carousel in the Valley?
No, I've heard of it, but I have not.
It's Persian, Iranian, Armenian. But that crispy rice thing that they're making, where I'm going to fuck this. I've just always heard it called Persian crispy rice. But basically, you take rice and you let it really brown on the bottom, like almost like paella, the Spanish version. And then you turn it upside and hope it doesn't stick. And that's why you saw Leva go, "Oh, here we go. Hopefully this doesn't stick." And they turned up and it was beautifully brown. And it's this crispy, like really crispy rice. And it's so good. Like if you like rice, you guys, Persian or Iranian cuisine is for you. It's all rice.
Mm.
I just freaked out and got a food heart.
Yeah. We got our head in this show now because he's going to be hungry.
I've still got my food in the microwave because you kept me going.
Please. So anyway, y'all,
this one's been taking me for a loop.
Nothing a lot happens. There's just looks at this party. Let's talk briefly about, okay, who do you think has the best Persian party look? Who do you think won the night?
Everyone's so different. Catherine walks in wearing a fur and a tiara.
She does. She's extra.
It's extra as normal. I think Leva looks really good.
Leva doesn't count. It's her party.
There's her friend Jackie, who we've never met before.
Never. And there's also another Madison.
There's another Madison too.
I actually think Dani looked the best.
Well, she was very restrained.
No, but I love that she had like a little bit of the hairpiece. She had that gold. Madison, like, I wanted her hair to be different. It was too
she
kind
does
of 80s.
That bird necklace that Patricia let her wear that she said was heavy.
That's pretty, but I feel like Dani won the Persian party night.
I will say now, and I know you like Madison's taste. Madison's taste is questionable as fuck to me.
Oh.
I think it's either super basic or questionable.
Disagree. I think every piece of clothing looks flawless on her.
No, I just it's very different though. No, I'm saying it might look great on her, but what about just the style, the fashion?
No, I like her style. I like it.
Nope. I'm a no.
I'm a yes.
I would choose Leva over that any day. Even that look, weird kids dress that I liked.
Loved it. Leva, I think, dresses well. But, y'all, I want Leva's baby. He's so cute.
I feel like Madison's too classic for Southern Charm. I think everything is too middle of the road for me.
There's like a... I like her style. I think sometimes in the South, women can dress a little kitschy and cutesy.
No, most women dress like her. You're incorrect. Most women dress like Madison. She's like just one of the group.
I like her style a lot.
But that's what I'm saying. She's not kitschy at all. She's right in the mainstream.
Maybe I'm comparing her to like Catherine, who's, you know.
That's not
beyond.
Yeah. Catherine is
because Cameron's style was always kind of blah to me.
Yeah, it was right in the middle too. But
Dani does some cool. Dani did her reunion outfit.
I think Dani looked great. I love Dani's style too. The best. Yeah,
that's what I just said. Dani looked at the best of the party. You literally took 10 minutes just to agree with me. Wow.
No, I was.
Can we just move on and talk about what they talked about?
I wanted you to admit that Madison's style is basic.
No, it's not. I think we can have a difference of opinion.
it's just basic. God. Anyway,
your boy boyfriend one day.
We learn that Leva's talking about she came here with her parents came here as soon as her mom found out she was a girl because she would need an education and she wouldn't get that.
So y'all think about it. If she was a boy, her mom would have thought of staying. But because she knew that her rights would be limited as a woman, she wanted to get the fuck out of there. That is.
Yeah. And we have and especially during the Shah of Iran occupation and that reign, a lot of people from Iran moved to the U.S. We have a lot of them here. And there it's true because you can't because there was a time where Iran was much more liberal, and then everything was basically shut down to a conservative party. I'm saying that because that in the most I know about it, I'm sure there's a more detailed explanation, but that's what people have explained to me. That's why we have a lot of Persians and Iranis here.
I think it's so, I want to sit down and have a conversation with Leva and Lamar. I know he won't because he's private, but I think what a juxtaposition of cultures, of having one culture that moved away from their country to find a better life and to build this better life. And they, as a woman, she was able to get opportunities here and then come from another culture that literally you don't even maybe know your ancestry because you were just, your ancestors were taken as slaves and stripped from their country and you had to build it as a new life here. I just think that's wow. That's just the juxtaposition of those experiences. Like, I bet they have the most interesting conversations in their house because they both seem intelligent, you know, emotional, intelligent people. Basically, I just want to have drinks with Lamar and suck his
That's
dick.
What I was waiting for.
Just let us get there, y'all.
And you were trying to find like a cerebral reason for it, and it was funny to watch.
I would have an intellectual heart on as well.
Your tongue's getting thick, so I'm going to keep going. Austin, Craig, John Pringle, and Whitney are out at the bar. It's a boys' night, y'all. It's a boys' night.
It's a boys' night out. Letting it all hang out.
Shep shows up. It's basically debauchery. Even Craig's like, I've been drinking too much. Right.
Y'all.
And of course, they get him a drink. I need to say.
I wonder if you're going to say what I want to say.
What?
I wonder if you're going to say what I was going to comment on. Go ahead.
They do Goldschlager shots.
That's literally what I was going to. You poodle. I need to ask you. What is the? I want to see if we agree on this. At what age should you stop doing Goldschlager shots?
19.
I was going to say 20. So let's agree on 19 and a half. You guys.
I had the, like, that was my freshman and sophomore year, to be honest. I don't know why.
Y'all come at us with your Goldschlager stories, but I am just saying.
I can't eat Red Hots to this day because my stomach goes, not going to happen.
I'm telling you, if you're over the age at the most 22, and even then you're pushing it. The fact that these men are in their 30s doing Goldschlager shots.
It's ridiculous.
It's classless. And it's just, if classless. This is
classless,
if this isn't a personification of Peter Pan syndrome on this show,
totally,
I don't know what
totally.
The fuck is.
No, this whole night was Peter Pan syndrome.
Thank you for having that reaction. That makes me happy to be your friend.
I totally agree with you. I will validate you for Goldschlager because it's everyone who's ever had Goldschlager has a bad Goldschlager story.
No one has a good, like, we had some Goldschlager. It was
we
a
just
good
had
time.
One or two Goldschlager shots. No one has one or two Goldschlager shots.
Mm-mm. No.
It's the gold leaf. It's the notoriety of it all. Oh God, I felt a sick feeling in my stomach when I saw Goldschlager. I honestly did.
Yeah, it's just shit liqueur with gold flakes in
it's
it.
So awful. It's fucking schnapps. So John Pringle's high on Goldschlager.
He's
and
drunk.
He turns to these girls and he's like, "Hey, what's your favorite band? Justin Bieber?" And he's like, "I got no game." And sadly, that made me fall in love with him even more. And I know I have a lot to explain there. And I know I have a lot to explain.
I actually think this I can see because y'all, when he, you know, when I got a little more attracted to John Pringle is when he said he was 42 years old.
Oh,
I was like, because y'all, I would in there in the 30s.
For it.
This is when I'm telling you, between his age and then the shirt off, y'all, forever known. I'm just telling you, can we just call him Daddy Pringle from now on, y'all? Because he's a daddy. He's a wolf daddy. That's what he is.
I'm going to refuse to refer to someone who's 42 as a daddy. Because
he's Daddy Pringle.
You're 42.
I'm 41. He's younger than me, so he could be my daddy. Now, for you, you are 42. So for you, you're equals. If you want, I can call you Daddy Bitch.
Never.
Daddy bitch.
If anyone ever calls me daddy or poppy, I'll slap in the mouth. I will slap their mouth.
We're at that age. We're not used to it yet. I found like maybe when we're 50.
I look young, though. My face looks young. You better validate me. I swear to God.
It does look young, but I did send you a link, y'all. Somebody.
You sent me a link for eye surgery. That's because... what friends do, apparently. You send links for plastic surgery.
Someone?
What came if you had me? Friends like that?
Someone came for me on Instagram and said, hey, I heard you had bad Botox. If you ever need some, let me know. And they're in Las Vegas. And I was like, are you offering for free? Are you telling me that I'd pay for it? I actually found a good Botox person now at UCLA, so I'm actually good. But it was very sweet. I've got to message them back.
I'm just trying
to get you free plastic
don't
surgery.
Don't send me suggestive plastic surgery.
No, you talk about your eye circles all the time, and this guy looks better.
I would like my eye bags done. Because I feel like the rest of my skin is fine. My forehead is fine.
Don't pull over, y'all.
Pull over. God damn it. It's crazy in Los Angeles tonight. So let's talk about John Pringle saying, he's talking about Madison. He's like, he's a little drunk talking to Austin. He's like, yeah, she's hot. I had designs on her. And Whitney's like, so if Madison was to break up with Austin, he's like, I would definitely sleep with Austin. And I went.
And that's when Poodle just grabbed the bottle of Jergens and just went.
Gold bond.
Gold bond. That green kind that burns a little bit. You make that mistake once.
I'm wearing that, actually. It burned a little bit.
That's the best lotion.
It's so good. Gold bond, y'all. Yep. So good.
That's when I knew, though, that I went, oh, fuck. This is when Jake's going to fall in love with this guy because John Pringle is that straight guy
who
flirts with the gay guys at the gay bar. Y'all.
He is the most dangerous on the show
for women and men. Shep is totally freaked out by gay guys hitting on him.
Oh,
totally.
Totally. So is Craig. And Austin
says he likes it. Craig is kind of into it.
John Pringle
like a little,
is
but John
so
Pringle
into it.
Is 100%. John Pringle, if you like gay men hitting on you, come at us.
John Pringle, we need to interview you. And then I need a dick pic.
You know what? He probably doesn't trim his bush, and I'm okay with it.
Oh,
I know
God.
You like a big bush.
I just had a moment.
I like a little trim. Poodle loves walking through the woods.
I don't, and I know
it's
like
okay,
a lot of
just
straight.
Admit, just a admit lot of, you like a big bush. It's fine.
I like it. A lot of straight women are like, no, you need to trim that shit. I'm like, no, let it grow. Let it be like the
Poodle wants to be wild,
forest.
Wild and free.
Never ending story. So anyway,
fuck around.
So let's just say this. John Pringle takes off his shirt and rides the mechanical bull. And then I had to excuse myself and went to interior room.
He's probably at an age where he shouldn't do that, but y'all. When he took off his shirt and he looked the way he did.
Whoa.
I need to bite my thumb.
I mean.
Do I bite my thumb at Chusa? I bite my thumb.
He is.
Whoa.
He's a fucking smoke show. And people have said, what are you doing? John Pringle's awful. I'm like, no, he's a guy. I'm alone.
Again, I'm going to say.
Daddy Pringle.
It creeps me out when you say that. So anyway, we go back to Leva's dinner and a bombshell hits. Catherine gets a text basically t- Thomas.
The best thing happened for Catherine.
Oh, definitely. Because she wanted to get back with him.
Yeah, she did.
Thomas got a girl pregnant. Not like several weeks.
No, 6 months ago. And he's been living with Catherine and never told her because he said
she was like 7 months.
They're going to be siblings. And he said, well, half siblings.
Oh, awful.
And you have to remember that where they come, they're like pure blood, muggle blood. Like that's how they fucking think about this shit.
So fucking awful. So she's going to have the baby. The lawyer texted her. And she basically the Persian dinner turns into be a bombshell because he didn't tell her that her baby mom, his baby mama is 7 months pregnant and then she would and her kids would have half siblings.
And Danny is shocked and Madden says, girl, we're getting you out of there. And that's how it ends.
That's the show, y'all.
That's the show.
That's Southern Charm.
Brought to you by Kate Hudson and Tito's Vodka.
And brought to you by drunkenness on this one side, not me.
Well, oh please, I'm fine. I'm not drunk at all.
I've had one drink and like
I'm drunk in love because I appreciate talking to you.
This has been lovely.
It has been lovely.
I'm glad we did this.
I'm glad we're doing this show too, y'all. We're jumping in. We're doing fun stuff.
Let's finish this. I want to eat.
And Poodle's ready to eat, y'all. So you guys leave a 5-star review of this show. Again, I know
we love all these reviews. Thank you so much. Even the ones that tell us that we don't really recap the show.
Well, and some of you are Carl's wives and you don't know how to, but if you learn how to share this show or tweet it, Facebook it out, let people know, we appreciate it so much.
Don't be a Carl's wife.
5 stars, and if you don't know what to say, what did they say, Poodle?
Keep going, Queens.
That's what you put on the review. And y'all, that's it. So, Poodle, I love you. I love everybody else. And I guess we'll see you next week.
Y'all come back now.
You hear?
Well, now it's time to say goodbye to Poodle and to Matt. And they would like to thank you folks for listening to their chat.
You're all invited back next week, but please, before we're through, just mosey down to iTunes and leave us a review.
Poodle, you and reviews, you're shameless.
That's what they call me in college.
Y'all come back now, you hear?